To order a meeting of the Oak Ridge Board of Education. I'd like to recognize Mr. D.T. Hobby, principal of Woodland Elementary School, who will introduce our very special guest tonight. Mr. Hobby.
It is my pleasure to introduce Ms. Susie Carton and the Woodland fourth grade volunteers. Tonight they will be performing excerpts from the Woodland Festival of Nations. This occurred in May 2017, and there were solos by Ms. Haven Worthy and Mr. Amonte Bishop.
This is a collaborative team project between the third grade and the special area teachers. We incorporate their standards, she's really excited to study about the world. I'm very excited to be working with these wonderful students. We're going to open up with hello to all the children of the world.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance in the Star Spangled Banner. I pledge. America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed as the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. In the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
It is the vision of Woodland Elementary to prepare students to be lifelong learners and good citizens. And we will now say our daily pledge to Woodland. The students will step forward, please.
Here to learn with our school family. There is a spirit here that you can clearly see. We are truthful, trustworthy, and listen actively. Giving no put downs, I promise to do my personal best as I work and learn today and every day.
Summer grass on my yard. Oh, way, oh, way, oh, way, oh, way. Schottische was a favorite dance in Middle Europe and the British Isles during the mid-1800s. Schottische is the German spelling of the word Scottish. Immigrants from Europe brought this dance to America over 150 years ago.
Once again, you've just witnessed the best part of the Board of Education meeting. And parents, just for parents, not for this side, if you stick around through the entire board meeting, the Board of Education will perform that dance that you just saw them do later. So that might encourage you to stay. Okay, great job. We're going to start right here. And one at a time, as you leave, walk up to the microphone, look right in that camera, and tell us who you are. And Ms. Carden, thank you for the great job that you do at Woodland. Thank you.
My name's Gracie Saunders, and I love Woodland.
I'm Shakira Goins.
Hello, my name is Toby Chen.
I'm Haven Lauren Dean.
My name is Naim Khan.
My name is Lorana Daniels.
Colin McVeigh.
My name is Tekka Phillips.
My name is Logan Morris. Nice to meet you all.
And young lady that sang the national anthem, anytime we need the national anthem sung, we're going to be calling on you. You did a fantastic job. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. All those in favor of approving the agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. You will notice that Ms. Marshall is absent tonight as she is out of the state on business travel. Next, under special reports and presentation, our first item is some of the good news of things that are going on in the Oak Ridge School District. Mr. Eby.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I have two pieces of good news report. First, I had the pleasure yesterday to attend the back to school service section at Spurgeon Chapel, and that was an excellent service that was led by the students, and the keynote speaker, the inspirational speaker, was our own Quayu Graham. And one thing he did is he challenged the students. He said, you can look outside the window, and that you can't control. You can look inside, look in a mirror, and that you can control. And know where you want to go and focus on that. And I thought that was really good. And it was actually, and Rose Weaver was the actually the coordinator of that. And so very good job, Rose. Other piece of good news is on the 8th of November, we're going to have the opportunity to be a part of Guinness's records in a coding day. And we're going to be working with Knox County and Code Tennessee and also Cirrus Insight at 9:30 a.m. using Scratch, developed by MIT and code.org. And we got notification that people should go in and sign up for that. And I don't know if you're going to speak about that later, but I think this is a real opportunity to do computer coding and for Oak Ridge Schools to be a part of Guinness Book of Records with the Knox County Schools. That's my news.
Ms. Eagle.
From Glenwood Elementary, the 21st Century CCLC grant has been awarded again to Glenwood and Willowbrook to fund extended day school programs. At Glenwood, students are able to attend morning activities before school begins, including exercise, computers, Legos, piano, chess, library, and Chinese. After school, students can enroll in homework help and tutoring along with ballet and STEM club. And that is some of the good news.
Ms. McLean.
Okay, I have good news from Oak Ridge High School. We have five Oak Ridge High School students received awards during the TVA Student Art Awards. Those awards included honorable mention, best sculpture, best drawing, and Congressional Medal of Honor for first place in 3D art. Also, Oak Ridge High School student Katie Roach was awarded a scholarship to attend Governor's School for the Arts next summer. Rose Fahari, an Oak Ridge High School freshman, was accepted into the Knoxville Film Festival. And six Oak Ridge High School orchestra students earned chairs in the Knoxville Youth Symphony, a premier youth symphony program in East Tennessee. And that's just some of the good news from Oak Ridge High School.
My good news first comes from Woodland. Woodland started a running club for third and fourth grade students that will teach them the fundamentals of running, how to be active and healthy, and how to have fun while running. They currently have 53 students in the club, with 34 of them competing in the Knoxville Youth Athletics Elementary Cross Country Races. The students will finish the season with the Oak Ridge Schools Turkey Trot, and in the spring, their goal is to compete in the Knoxville Kids Marathon, where students will run 25 miles on their own at practices, and the last mile will be in downtown Knoxville, where the finish line being in Neyland Stadium. Second, boards of education across the state throughout the year attend fall district meetings. The Oak Ridge Schools last week attended our fall district meeting, which was held in Harriman, Tennessee. And the good news from that was that Ms. Laura McLean achieved level 2 of the TSBA Academy levels. There are 5 levels that board members can achieve through the work that they do, not only on the board, but attending other events, attending continuing education type academies. And so congratulations, Ms. McLean, for achieving level 2. On her way to level 5 someday, we hope. And that's just some of the good news going on in the Oak Ridge School District. Next on the agenda is Oak Ridge 2020 presentation. Dr. Borchers.
I'll ask Mr. Lay, Ms. Gagliano, if you guys want to get prepared for the presentation. Tonight you're going to see a report out on goal number 3. And as the board is aware, we're prioritizing these as the data comes in, those key performance indicators come in for that goal area. So tonight we'll have goal 3. In the October meeting, we'll have goal two. In the November board meeting, goal 1 and 5. And then in the January meeting, we'll have goal 4. So you'll see these throughout the next few board meetings. So I'll turn it over. Looks like Mr. Lay is going to start us out.
Yes, I am ready, and good evening. So, and we will give a short introduction. So for those watching television, if they've not heard this before, and we may not say all of it, but basically we are here to review goal 3 of our 2020 initiative, the Oak Ridge 2020, Achieving Excellence in Education. And basically the reason we have this is simply to measure our efforts to achieve excellence. Oak Ridge 2020, Achieving Excellence in Education. Oak Ridge is known for its academic achievements and the quality of its educational system. It has always been a discriminator in where families choose to live. We want to aggressively pursue academic excellence and offer all we can to our future and present students. What is Oak Ridge 2020? Basically, Oak Ridge 2020 was born from our desire to aggressively pursue academic excellence and offer all we can to our future. I'm most intrigued by the comments on the right, our guiding principles. And number one, students first. And for us to be successful and be the school system we want to be, it has to all be about our students. Accountability, responsibility for our actions and results. We all must be accountable for what we're doing. Equity, opportunity, access, and achievement for all. Excellence, our best individual and collective efforts and results. Engagement, informed, trusting, and supportive stakeholders. Integrity, doing the right thing at all times. Teamwork, mutual respect, and treatment are the foundation for success. We have 5 strategic goals. Number 1 is our academic excellence. Goal 2 is educator excellence. Goal 3, learning environment excellence. Goal 4, operational excellence. And goal 5, stakeholder excellence. Our mission, to simply provide an adaptive and challenging learning environment and instruction that prepares each student for excellence in education in the workplace, while cultivating integrity, responsibility, and a sustained passion for continuing learning. Our vision, every student receives the highest quality education and graduates prepared for college, career, and life success. Learning environment excellence. Number 1 is to establish and maintain a comprehensive assessment process that monitors the condition of all capital assets and provides a basis for prioritization of capital expenditures. Number 2, develop a capital improvement plan that embeds cost and energy efficiency. Thirdly, develop and communicate strong safety and security policies, practices, and plans, and continuously assess performance. Number 4, optimize and communicate student services, including transportation, food, and other student services. Goal 3, celebrations.
Okay, under our goal 3 celebrations, that's basically our results for fiscal year 17. Our goal was 100%, and we achieved 100% on annually auditing and determining priority action on all capital assets. The second bullet, our portion of the ESCO, or the energy projects, has been completed, and funding for the projects is underway. It's progressing. Our goal there was 100%. We achieved that.
The third section, we achieved a surplus in our food service fund to support equipment replacement for the cafeterias. Our goal was in excess of 3.9%, and we actually achieved 7.6%. And then dropping down a bullet, all of our district buses at the close of FY17 had operable cameras and radios, our goal and achieved.
And back to bullet four, many positive changes have been made to our emergency response process. We do have an emergency response team. We work in coordination with the fire department, the Oak Ridge Police Department. We have stakeholders from each school on the team, and we meet monthly to make sure we are prepared for whatever may come our way. And then the last bullet, our staff participation in viewing safe schools training videos increased to 99.5%. We want to be at 99, actually 100% this next school year, but I can assure you it took a lot of hard work to get the 99.5%, but we are making progress.
Okay, our goal three opportunities or our challenges for fiscal year 18 would be to increase our student participation in the free breakfast program at schools that are eligible and add any additional schools if they do become eligible. We were at the close of FY17, we were at an 85% participation, and our goal is 95%. Secondly, we are working to develop a meaningful criteria to analyze the efficiency and the scope of our transportation services, and we are engaging the help of our consultant Lean Frog to help us on some of that. We will continue to seek additional funding for priority CIP and ESCO projects that are not part of the current scope. And that will be ongoing, and it will depend upon the success and results of the first wave of projects, as well as available funding as we progress.
And then two more opportunities to increase the percentage of staff members that have completed the required Safe Schools training. When a 99.5 is a 3, that last little half of a point becomes very important. Okay, so we're working towards that. And to complete the work necessary to finish the emergency response application. And once again, this is always changing. Like we mentioned last year, you know, a forest fire was not a concern until last year, okay? So it's constantly changing. We learn better ways to address, so we're constantly working on our response.
Our strategies for achieving goal three, we are going to continue, as I mentioned, to try to develop a method by which we can analyze the efficiency and the scope of transportation as it relates to service, but also budget and cost for the district.
And we will continue to develop and increase communication and understanding of the emergency response plan. You notice in there the app that we're talking about, the emergency response app. We are currently in the testing phase of that. We have been discussing that for some time, but that is close to becoming a reality, and we should have a numerical measurement for that this time next year. We are revising the timeline and requirement of the safety videos. I think we could have been at 100% today. We would have got that additional 0.5 if we didn't end the requirement to complete the test were the last day of employment. Once people leave your building, it's sort of tough to get that done. So basically, all staff members are required to have that completed by the Monday we return after fall break. We will be monitoring anyone that has not completed that. Rest assured, they will get nice, friendly, gentle reminders until that is completed. So we'll be at 100% next year. Okay. Do we have any questions?
Mr. Eby.
Yeah, I just want to make a couple of comments. Again, I think this is really good, because what you've done is you've gone through the key things with regard to this goal. You've tracked them. You've looked to see the ones that aren't quite there. You've identified actions that you can take those. You're tracking those. And this is how we're going to get better. This is a path of continuous improvement. And this is an excellent report. I look forward to the reports over the next 3 months to see how we're doing on the other ones. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You know, and actually a document like this really makes good management easy. because we have something to look at that tells us what we're doing well and what we need to improve. Thank you.
And I won't go into any detail, but we can shake our heads. I think we're many steps ahead of some other areas in the community that may be working on this as well. So thank you very much again. Next on the agenda is the public forum. The public forum is for anyone who would like to address a topic that is not on the agenda. You may address a topic that is on the agenda when it is presented. If you choose to address the board at this time, you will have 3 minutes to speak. The board may or may not respond to your comments or may have the superintendent address your concerns. When you speak, please come to the podium and sign in and then state your name and address. Is there anyone that would like to address the board at this time? Come forward. Martin.
My name is Martin McBride. I live at 954 West Outer Drive in Oak Ridge. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to speak this evening. I'd like to rise to talk to you about an anniversary, a very important anniversary that's coming up, not this year or next year, but in a couple of years that I think we can get a jump on if we start thinking about it and really get some advantages for our school system and for the Department of Energy. That anniversary is the anniversary of the very first public school system in the nation to desegregate. As you know, that happened here in Oak Ridge in 1955. It was a magnificent achievement for the Oak Ridge schools. And it is something that I think that really is very important. It's very important that we recognize it and we also push that recognition nationally. This was an important milestone for the American Civil Rights Movement. It's never easy being first in something like this, very difficult, but the school system, the parents, the students, everyone pulled it off with just a wonderful performance. And often what is forgotten is that the Department of Energy itself was in control of the city at that point. So this is an opportunity for a win-win-win. There's a whole bunch of wins if we go ahead and celebrate this thing in 2020. That'll be the 65th anniversary of the desegregation. Now, I'll speak for a moment about the parents in Scarborough, the parents and students in Scarborough who on that momentous year entered a previously segregated school. I think the courage and leadership they expressed in that was just wonderful. But it's not just them, it's the whole system. Everyone came together and did a remarkable job. Now my suggestion to you is that to help take this national, I think we should act now because the sooner we get it out there, the more publicity that everybody is going to get before 2020. Also because next year there's going to be major celebrations of the 75th anniversary of the city and of the Department of Energy, and I think they ought to be thinking about the 2020 as they're putting their thoughts together for that anniversary next year. So with that in mind, I'd like to recommend that you consider inviting the Secretary of Energy to come and join us in the 2020 celebration. I think he would probably love such an invitation. And the second recommendation is that you consider doing it sooner rather than later so we get the maximum benefit from the event. Thank you very much.
And thank you for bringing this to our attention. I think it is an idea that has great merit. I would only add, and I'm sure you're thinking ahead on this as well, there might be a couple of other names that we would want to add to that list from various departments in the federal government to attend as well. That would be
absolutely
very appropriate.
The more the better.
Comments or questions from the board?
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Martin. Seeing no one else, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Agel. Those in favor of approving the consent agenda signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving next on to items for action. Item A is the ESG resolution. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the ESG resolution.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Oh, second for discussion.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Agel. Dr. Borchers.
As the board knows, we passed a resolution at our last meeting, and the city at that point went back and created and passed the resolution that's on our agenda this evening. This has been probably 2+ years in the work, and so it wasn't the large project that we thought initially, but I think we can be thankful for what is a total about an $8.8 million package between the city and the schools, and we haven't seen that type of investment in capital infrastructure in our facilities in a long time. So our attorney has reviewed the resolution. I know Karen Allen have pored over this, and feel comfortable bringing this in front of the board this evening.
Questions or comments from the board? Ms. Agel.
I do have a couple of concerns that I went ahead and emailed Dr. Borchers to get answers, but I think it's worthwhile for everybody to think about these. And the first is, if the expected savings in the first 3 to 5 years are not realized, part of the ESG contract is that if you don't achieve at least 90% of the savings they project, they will refund the difference. So my question was, if we don't recognize those savings, does that payment from ESG go to the city or to the schools?
And our response back to was the payment does go to the city because the contract lies with them. However, we will be credited that amount in the following year, and that is in the resolution.
My other concern is that, given that the city has already indicated that they do not want to continue the contract with ESG for more than 3 to 5 years, you have to have that contract to get that guarantee of savings. And so if we don't realize the savings in the first few years, would they extend that contract, or are we just kind of on our own? We've spent this money and, well, we didn't get the savings we expected, but too bad.
Yeah, and this has been a discussion point throughout the whole 1 or 2 year process. And as Mr. Thacker and I discussed today, you know, that the whole purpose, as you said, Ms. Agel, of having that contract is to verify those first few years that we do have that guaranteed savings realized. Since that contract lies with the city, we don't have the ability to tell the city to keep extending that. But I think, as the board has learned, the majority of these fixes or investments will be done in the first year or two. So we should have a real solid understanding of if we're going to have that the savings that they say they're going to. And throughout this process for the last 2 years, we really have talked about, and ESG has even mentioned it, that once we have a real handle on the energy savings, that a prudent thing to do at a lesser cost would be to hire our own, between the city and the schools, a dedicated energy manager. So that's been something that's been discussed throughout the process.
Karen.
Also, just an add-on to that, you know, if the savings aren't realized, then it's on ESG's back to re-spec the equipment or make changes to it so that it does happen, because the savings are based on reduced usage, which then turns into dollars. And I've got to believe that the city would not cancel their services if we were not at a point of savings, because it will affect them as well, because they're making their payment off of savings as well. So I would think that the decision would be made to drop the consulting services at a point where we were realizing at least the savings that was spec'd, but then beyond that.
Mr. Eby.
Yeah, as I try to read this, I still continue to get a little confused. Originally, weren't the savings going to pay for what we owed the city to pay back, yes or no?
Actually, the projected savings were a little bit more than this payment amount.
Right. So now we're required to pay back the city $272,000. If the savings come through, and if they're higher than what this payback is what the projections, then everything goes back to the city and no.
No, then
so we get credited with all the savings?
Yes, because the utility bills are in our budget. So we will actually be realizing the savings in our budget. And the agreement is further that those additional savings will go towards CIP projects that are not in this scope of ESG right now. So it's a new stream for CIP money.
And that was a particular point that I can't even count how many hours were spent discussing that particular aspect of it to make sure that we got it in there, and it is. And you're right, anything above that comes back to us to use for capital projects where we've never had money flowing there before to help with those. So
I'll ask the next question. Does that mean that if the savings aren't there exceeded, we won't get capital project improvement money?
Now, that I can't answer. That's a good question, but in relation to this document,
doesn't keep us from asking the city additional needs on the capital.
Absolutely not.
No different than what we're doing right now.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. I'm fine. Thank you.
I think that is particularly important because the original scope of this project was 2.5 times the final after they pared all these things down. So there are a lot of other projects within the schools that would achieve energy savings, and the city just pared it down and pared it down and pared it down. So there's still a lot of need.
And to that point, you know, we, as the board approves the budget every year, we have a contingency fund in Allen's budget, and we pretty much have gone through that entire thing already, and it's September. So the needs are there, and it's, I know it's Allen's and Karen and I's objective here is to do this extremely well, this partnership. So as we've talked here, so the city council will be willing and ready to go back and do a second phase of this.
And if I recall correctly, that at least the city has indicated that they're interested in additional phases, correct?
Yes, and having personally talked to several of the board members, I would encourage this board, as this portion of the project moves on, to continue to talk with your council members. I know that there are at least 3 of the council members that have a desire to complete the entire project. So I think it's important for us to continue that dialogue with the council members to not let this occur and then the rest of it drift off into oblivion somewhere and just kind of be forgotten about. I think that has to be part of our due diligence within this project, because you're right, there are a number of projects that we would have liked to have seen happen that could have happened in the $20 million scope, both for the schools and the city, that were eliminated, but are in reaching distance if we stay with this project, I think. Ms. McClain.
So if we approve this, then ESG can start in a couple of weeks with their
Alan, have you had your first meeting, planning meeting with ESG for this project once it's approved?
This week,
okay. So that will be occurring this week, and we are off to the races.
And I certainly would be amiss if I didn't say how much time and effort Mr. Thacker has put in to try to make this work. And I think I mentioned this earlier. I think it's also helped improve our relationship with the city's maintenance staff as well, and particularly Pat Fallon, as he and Alan have worked together and This board really appreciates your efforts in doing that, and we're certainly not where we'd like to be, but we're certainly where we want to be because we're better than we were before we had this, or will be. Other comments or questions? Motion on the floor is approval of the ESG resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next, several items under items for action deal with board policies that are in the second reading. We had some discussion, we've had this discussion a couple of times as we've looked at some of these policies, and the basic premises of the discussion dealt with certain wordings within the policies. I had a conversation at our fall district meeting with Ben Torres, who is part of the legal staff and our lobbyist on the Hill through TSBA, and asked him that question. And I tried to make the question first as simple as I could, and basically asked, what can we as a board do if we get a policy and there's wording in there that we would like to see changed? And I use, for example, what if we wanted to change the word may to will, or other words like that? And as we entered on into that conversation, it became clear that we have the ability to change that to meet our needs as a district, as long as we don't change the intent of the law, which we obviously can't do. So as we look through these in the future, that's something that if we feel like that need is there, and he said, too, if we get to a point and we're not sure, then and call. He said, you know, they're trying to put this into a package that would encompass all the districts in the state of Tennessee, and in order to do that, a lot of times there's a lot of maybe generic wording that's used in there. So if the board will keep that in mind as we proceed on these, not only tonight and into the future, that's certainly an option that we have, as long as we obviously don't change the intent of the law. And he said, if you want to do that, you know what the next step is. And I kind of shook my head, and that was the end of the conversation. So, Mr. Eby.
Just a comment on that. I don't know if you recall, but in the past, the policies were always our policies. And what we did is that we actually connected with TSBA because they were doing these generic policies that, as you say, were looking to, you know, make them so that they would be consistent with the law. And of course, we had our attorneys to review them they are our policies.
Right.
And that, I think that's the bottom line. And we don't have to follow TSBA's policies if we don't want to. We just know their policies are written to meet the intent of the law. But we can have whatever policies we want. We just need to be sure they meet the law.
Right. That's exactly correct. Okay. With that being said, item B is board policy 1.407, school district records. This is a second reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the TSBA recommended updates to board policy 1.407, school district records.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. As a second reading, Dr. Borchers, additional comments?
Yeah, as a reminder, we probably won't have many additional comments on these first. I think it's five or six. They're all second reading, and little to no changes on the majority of them.
Comments or questions from the board? Hearing none, motion is to approve board policy 1.407 on second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Move then to board policy 5.200, separation practices for tenured teachers. This is a second reading also. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the TSBA recommended updates to board policy 5.200, separation practices for tenured teachers.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
Just one small change there, getting rid of that 90-day piece on page 2 of that policy.
Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, motion is to approve board policy 5.200 on second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we move on to item D, board policy 5.201, separation practices for non-tenured licensed employees. This is also a second reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the TSBA recommended updates to board policy 5.201, separation practices for non-tenured licensed employees.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. Comments, Dr. Borchers?
Very similar to the previous policy.
Questions or comments from the board? Motion is approval of board policy 5.201 as a second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Move on next to board policy 5.203, recommendations and file transfers. This is also a second reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the newly proposed TSBA board policy 5.203, recommendations and file transfers.
Further recommendation, do I hear a motion? Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Comments, Dr. Borchers?
As the board knows, this was a new policy for us, and between this meeting and the last meeting, we had some follow-up about the real intent of this policy.
Questions from the board? Ms. Eagle.
What prompted this? Was there something statewide that caused TSBA to take this up?
Dr. Dealey, do you know why they took this up this last session?
Federal law. It complies with federal law.
Motion is approval of board policy 5.203, second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to item F, board policy 5.600, staff rights and responsibilities. This also is a second reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the TSBA recommended updates to board policy 5.600, staff rights and responsibilities.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Dr. Borchers.
Again, the biggest piece of this policy is on the first page, those changes in red, advocating and supporting our educators.
Questions? Motion is to approve board policy 5.600 on second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to item G, board policy 5.701, substitute teachers, also a second reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the TSBA recommended updates to board policy 5.701, substitute teachers.
Further recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers, comments?
Bottom of the page, page one, you'll see they'll be paid the same as retired substitute teachers with active teaching license, and then, again, the whole removal of the 90 days piece.
Questions? Motion is approval of board policy 5.701, substitute teachers, on second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. And now item H, we get to a first reading, Board Policy 5.117, Procedure for Granting Tenure. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 5.117, Procedure for Granting Tenure.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
So move.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
I'm going to turn to either Dr. Lee, Mr. Lay. Would either of you want to summarize the changes here?
This was rewritten by TSBA to bring clarity to the topic. They reorganized the policy, and specifically in regard to hiring tenured teachers from other systems and teachers returning to probationary status. That's why they reorganized the language in the process. There's nothing really new about it. They just wanted to bring clarity to the subject.
Questions or comments from the board? Mr. Eby?
Yeah, I know it's not new, but it's always the one that gets me. So you have to have this score of exceeds expectations or significantly above expectations 2 consecutive years prior to being awarded tenure. Is it clear how you define significantly above and or above expectations?
The way that we define that is simply by the evaluation system. Teachers will receive at the end of the evaluation procedures an LOE, level of effectiveness, and that level of effectiveness will be a 1 through a 5 numerical score. So basically to earn tenure, it must be a 4 or a 5 according to the evaluation system. The principals are responsible for doing the observations. 35% of the score will come from student growth score, 15% will come from achievement score. So you have achievement, you have growth, and then 50% of that process is the actual teacher observation that is scored by the principal.
Other questions? Ms. Agle.
So how do they factor in the growth score in a year like this one where the whole testing debacle happened last year and a lot of kids didn't even take the tests? How do they manage growth? Do they just make it up or?
Teachers have been given the option. Basically, the state has developed 2 or 3 options, and the teachers can select the option that gives them the higher score. In some areas, teachers actually selected a growth or achievement score that we did not receive a number from. So we as a system are sitting down with the data we have. We're arriving at a number that would represent as close as we can to make sure they have those numbers for their evaluation system so they get a level of effectiveness. So it is different. It has been a challenge. The state has, in my opinion, done their best to make it as reasonable and as supportive as possible. But no, we do not have the scores that, like we have had in the past. It's been a more difficult process.
Other questions? Hearing none, this is on first reading. Motion is to approve Board Policy 5.117. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is the replacement of Linden Kindergarten Playground Equipment. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the replacement of Linden Kindergarten Playground Equipment.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
Another great example of our parent organization supporting their school. You can see the total project cost there are $27,500, zero cost to the district with the PTO picking up that cost. Mr. Lay, do you have any other details you'd like to share about playground equipment?
Mr. Ward sends his apologies. They had a music program this evening, as we witnessed earlier. People are more intrigued to show up for those in a board meeting. But basically, this is the kindergarten playground area. They're at the bus loop up on the hill. They have already removed the old structure. It was a wood structure. They start splintering, dry rotting, and it's being replaced with a metal plastic structure that the students can climb up on, slide down. So they're very excited about this new piece of equipment, and we should have it soon.
Questions? Ms. McLean.
I don't really have a question. I just have a congratulations. That's a whole lot of, I don't know what they did to get that money, but coupon books and donations and whatever, that's a lot of money, and I congratulate them. I raised not quite that much when my kids were in elementary school, and it takes a long time.
You know, we are very fortunate here in Oak Ridge. If you look at Linden, and like I said, and they're not the only school, but in recent years, you've got the outside amphitheater, you've got the track, now you've got the playground, the parent organization, they're just really doing a tremendous job, and there's just strong community support there. Of course, last year we had the Glenwood Playground, so we're very fortunate.
And we are across the district and all the schools. Without question, without the support of those volunteer organizations, a lot of the things that happen that are good for kids would not happen. Other comments or questions? Motion is approval of replacement of Linden Kindergarten Playground equipment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving along, item J, Head Start Duration Startup Carryover Funds. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the Head Start Duration Startup Carryover Funds in the amount of $55,957.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
The board has an attachment from Mr. Lay and Lisa that you can see the details here, but this item and the next item are related. So I'll turn to Mr. Lay if you want to give a brief overview.
Sorry. As the supporting document communicates, basically that money was received late and we just did not have the opportunity to spend it in a timely manner, so we're just simply asking that we retain those funds and be allowed to spend those at a later time.
Questions or comments? Motion is approval of the Head Start Duration Startup Carryover Funds. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item K, request to Head Start for waiver of non-federal match. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the request to Head Start for a waiver of non-federal match in the amount of $13,989.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
As Mr. Lay's already shared, and if you see the next document attached to this item, this is simply requesting that Head Start waive the requirement for the program and the non-federal match of those funds.
Comments or questions? Hearing none, the motion is to approve the request to Head Start for waiver of non-federal match. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item L, Safe Schools Act grant budget approval for 2017-2018. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the 17-2018 budget for Safe Schools Act.
You've heard the recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move. Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
The board can see the attachment where those dollars are being spent, but I'll turn to Dr. Beckendorf for an overview of that.
Basically, most of our money for safe schools now goes to a 0.5 school safety specialist, Kaylin Hayes, who does that point half of her time, and the other half of her time she's an administrative assistant for Title I. So having her in that role has really helped our district propel its emphasis on safety forward in quite a fast-paced way as a comparison to the past, but unfortunately it takes up most of our budget.
Comments or questions from the board? Hearing none, motion is to approve the Safe Schools Act grant budget approval for 2017-18. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item M, replacement of HVAC service truck. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the bid from Secret City Dodge of Oak Ridge, Tennessee in the amount of $39,000 to replace the district's HVAC service truck. And you'll again see some attached memos for those details.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion? Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Dr. Borchers.
Again, if you go to the second page of that attachment, you can see that Secret City Dodge was the low bid for the vehicle that was spec, so it's always nice to be able to do that in town as well.
Mr. Eby.
I have one question for Mr. Thacker. I mean, the truck you have right now is 1995. I mean, can't you do better than 22 years out of a truck?
Can you take some parts out of that one and put it in the other one?
The other one's a big box truck.
Oh, okay. Motion is replacement of HVAC service truck. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Move on to item N, FY17 internal school funds audit financial report for individual school locations. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the FY 2017 financial audit report for the individual school locations, student activity funds. You can see the attachments, and I know Karen will be here to explain the process.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McClain.
Karen, do you want to go ahead and give an overview?
Sure. We're working with a new set of auditors for the FY17 audit, and the first part is the internal school funds at each school. They completed their audit. There were a few items that they looked at that they felt weren't audit findings, but some things that could be worked on. And so we scheduled a meeting with the auditors and with our principals, and we have another meeting tomorrow morning with the bookkeepers at each school to go over these items and sort of review, you know, with a new auditing firm. Sometimes they look at different things than previous auditors, so we're getting a feel for working together. And everything went really well. Everyone tries really hard to do the right thing, and so we were pleased with the process.
Mr. Eby.
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand. I read through this thing, but this adverse opinion on generally accepted accounting principles, can you talk about that and what that means? It's on page, I guess that's page 5. It says, in our opinion, because of the significance of the matter discussed and the basis for adverse opinion, blah, 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 the financial statements referred to in the first paragraph do not present fairly in accordance with accounting principles generally accepted by the United States of America, blah, 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 blah.
Okay, I'm going to ask Pat for her opinion on that. This is pretty much a I don't want to say boilerplate, but this is the items that they go through to touch all bases. And
I just like to understand it. When I read that, I just, you know, I have antennas that go up and it says. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Can you come on?
It's basically a statement to say that the percentage, because they're internal school funds, if there were minute like the ones that they mentioned, they did not have an impact on the district as a whole. Is that
still struggling. So you say that because they do not present fairly in accordance with accounting principles, you're saying they don't have an impact on the district? Or
because of the accounting principles based on the internal school funds.
The internal school funds being separate from the general fund.
Okay. Okay.
So the percentage of the total financial dollars that are involved as compared to the entire school budget.
Other questions?
Okay, so they don't present the financial position of the internal school funds. Okay. All right.
Hearing none, motion is approval of the FY17 internal school funds audit financial report for individual school locations. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item O, USDA CACFP food grant. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the 2017-2018 USDA CACFP food grant.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
And as you can see from the attachment, what all those letters meant is it provides free meals to all of our children enrolled in the Oak Ridge Schools preschool program. So it's a great thing for our kids.
Questions? Comments from the board? Motion is approval of the USDA CACFP food grant. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item P, 2017-18 21st Century Community Learning Center Remaining Funds Grant. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the 2017-2018 21st Century Community Learning Center Remaining Funds Grant.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion? Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Dr. Borchers.
Ms. Bell is here. I'm sure it could answer some questions, but if you can see the attachment, you'll see that the amount this year is $187,000, and there's a great handout there of the monies and the funding of the programs at Glenwood and Willowbrook.
Questions or comments?
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Approval of the 2017-18 21st Century Community Learning Center Remaining Funds Grant. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Items for information, enrollment. Are there questions or comments? Mr. Eby.
Numbers are up. Last time I thought we said that we didn't know, they were seemed to be up and then down. Are they up now? Or are they?
I can say with confidence we are up 42 students, but this is a good time for us to look and say that we are truly up this year. So we are comparing apples to apples. We've had preschool included since this time last year, so we are sincerely up 42 students. So our enrollment is up, which is a positive.
That is very good.
Yes.
Are we narrowing in on any areas where that increase enrollment is putting us in a position that another student or two could take us over the limit?
At this time, we are really in good shape. We're not even close to where we are needing to have a conversation about what if we get another student or two. We really are we have a good balance across the system. We're not overcrowded in any one area, so we're doing very well.
Good. Attendance?
Any areas that give you any concern, any particular areas?
You know, as I looked at the graphs yesterday and today, basically what I'm seeing is it appears that we are either better than we were last year as far as attendance, or at least we're the same. We're the same or better. So once again, this data is giving us something to look at. We can see where we're at. And it appears we're doing a good job. We've got our first campus truancy review meeting this Friday.
We have seven individuals who we have sent an invitation to meet with us. So, you know, basically, after the first 6 weeks of school, almost seven, we basically have fewer than 10 individuals who are at 10 days or above. And we have not kept that kind of data since last year. Probably should have, but in comparison, I think that's a fairly low number. So I think we're doing well. We're definitely, you know, putting it out there for parents. We're communicating consistently our expectation that students be at school, and that we cannot do our job efficiently if children are not at school. So.
And I would encourage, I know some of the board members have, but if you ever get a chance throughout the year when these meet, it's worth going and look at the procedure and what goes on and how these are handled. I think something that we have in process that certainly is already making a difference and will continue to show positive results.
Well, just the title is Truancy Review and Support. It's not campus court. It's not we're out to get you, you know, and I have personally invited all seven parents to this meeting, and I tell them up front, the last thing we want to do is file a petition or have a parent arrested. Our goal is to simply get children in school. That's our whole goal, and that's why we're meeting, and we're there to offer support as needed to assist parents.
Ms. Eagle.
It does appear that the ratio of excused to unexcused absences is looking a whole lot better than it has previously, particularly in the elementary grades, where I always questioned, you know, a first grader's not skipping school. They're just not. So it looks like the parents are getting the notes in, or the schools are developing a better way of finding out was this excused or not. So it does look better to have that straightened out. Thank you.
Another benefit of tracking and knowing where you were last year and where you're looking at trends. I mean, this.
But you know, we're still questioning the senior class last year at the high school, and it will be nice to have this data to look at that trend as we near the end of this year. And we know, you know, senioritis is a reality that happens, but it seemed to be high. And once again, we at least had data to compare to, which is helpful.
Ms. McClain.
When I was looking over it, I noticed that some of the best attendance is in kindergarten and fifth grade. And I wonder if having students in a new building, maybe they're more excited about being there, or I don't know. But it just seemed interesting that was the best.
And that's what I find with the data. I find myself speculating a lot, and we don't know for sure, but at least it helps us have the conversation. You know, I was sort of curious with the first grade because it seemed like the unexcused and the excused were somewhat consistent or the same level. And you would think at that age, parents would be very consistent in writing those notes. Now, perhaps first graders are not real consistent with getting those turned in, so that could be the problem. So you can go either way with it. But once again, at least lets us, you know, keep an eye on those numbers and see are we high or are we low. So.
Financial report is next. Comments or questions? Karen?
I just wanted to call your attention to, if you look at all the way at the bottom of the page, in columns monthly activity and year to date, you'll see that our expenditures exceed our revenues. So this is a good example of a month where we're drawing upon fund balance in order to stay afloat. So I thought I'd just point that out, because we talk about that all the time when we talk about fund balance, but here's an example you can see.
Other questions? Any old business? New business? Communications and information. The board will be visiting Jefferson Middle School this Wednesday at 7 a.m. This Friday, there will be a ribbon cutting at Oak Ridge High School Wildcat Arena, as the Oak Ridge Sports Hall of Fame is now located there. If you can come, that would be great. If you can't, it certainly is worth going by and taking a look at it. And again, appreciate Alan and his staff for helping make that possible. That's at 5 p.m. Friday. Friday is also homecoming at the high school. And at halftime, the new inductees into the Oak Ridge Sports Hall of Fame will be presented, as well as the homecoming royalty. I guess you still call them royalty, don't you? Court. On October the 18th, since we will not have a meeting until after that, Miss, I guess that date is still good for you, that you still focus on Ed that date. Miss Eagle will be hosting Focus on Education at 6 o'clock that evening. Do you have a, do you know who your guest is yet? She will be having a guest at that time. We've, believe it or not, just about finished our first 9 weeks of school. That's pretty amazing. Good things happening in the Oak Ridge schools. We appreciate each one of you being here tonight. If you're watching, thanks for watching, and we're adjourned. And my computer is locked.